Chapter 1, starting in verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved.
It's Christmas Eve. It snowed, and God's people are gathered for worship. Now somebody would say, boy, it doesn't get better than that. But it does get better than that. Because we worship today and always the God-man, Jesus Christ. And we've been reminded this morning that that worship began a couple thousand years ago, of the God-man, Jesus. And it continues today. And just a thought now before we get into the Word of God, that worship will continue forever. Amen. Forever. Praise God. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, it is a privilege to be here this morning. We thank You. Just as our brother has said, that there is a time established that we celebrate and worship and praise and give You exaltation and adoration for the coming of God the Son as a man. And Father, how vital, how important that is to us. There is no salvation apart from that. And we thank You that we can gather together today as Your people and worship You through Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we continue to worship, as we look at truth in Your Word today, God, we ask for Your help. We ask for Your assistance by Your Spirit to direct our thoughts and help us to focus on the truth before us, this truth about Jesus. May You be glorified in it all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, Faith Baptist Church gathers together on every Lord's Day to worship and exalt and to glorify our God. And when we do that, we come into the presence of the Creator of the universe, the sovereign ruler of all things, the maker and sustainer of all creation, to give ourselves to Him in praise and worship and exaltation through Jesus Christ. And folks, that is good, and that is a privilege, and this is as it should be for the people of God. This is what we should be doing on the Lord's Day. And yet today, as we gather, it's a special time. And it's that time of year, even as we've heard before, that we set aside to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And whatever we or others may think about Christmas, the very essence of true Christmas is this: God became man. That the eternal, almighty Creator and sustainer of the universe in the person of God the Son came into the presence of men as a man. God became man. And God became man to save man. Man had rebelled against God. Man had turned away from God. And God became man to save man. In our study of Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, we have looked at the work of the Father. And it's fitting this morning that we turn our focus on the Son. And if we're to celebrate Christmas in truth, then it becomes absolutely necessary for us to understand who came. This is not new truth that we share this morning, but it's truth that we need to be reminded of. It's truth that we don't want this just to pass through our minds or even just come to our minds once a year, but we need to be reminded continually of this blessed person and this blessed event. On this Christmas Eve morning, let's now look at the words of the angel to Mary. Because when Gabriel told Mary that she would bear a child, he left no doubt as to who this child would be. Four important descriptions of Mary's child. We see it in our passage this morning. Let's begin with verse 31. The angel says to Mary, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." Here in Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the angel Gabriel begins to unfold the mystery of the incarnation to Mary. She will conceive, and she will give birth to a baby boy, and the angel gives to Mary the baby's name. And the angel says, "You shall call his name Jesus." Jesus. We mentioned this last week, but this name Jesus comes from the Hebrew Joshua or Yeshua. It was a popular name in Israel. Parents were honored to name their boys after one of Israel's greatest generals. Parents were honored to name their boys with a view of Yahweh's great work of salvation for His people. For that name Jesus, that name Joshua, Yeshua, it means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord saves. Yahweh or Jehovah is salvation. The angel Gabriel would speak later to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, and he would give the full impact of this name to Joseph. The angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." As I was thinking about that statement that the angel made to Joseph, this is the personification of this name. Jesus means, or the angel says to Joseph, he will save his people from their sins. The Lord is salvation. In a way, the angel was telling Joseph that he is the Lord and he will save his people. That name was very common in Israel. Many little boys were named Jesus, but finally, one would come who would bear the name perfectly and fulfill it completely. And just as Joshua had delivered Israel from her enemies and helped bring them out of slavery into a land of promise, this new Joshua, this Jesus, would crush the power of sin and deliver his people. And folks, it's this name that focuses on the central truth of Christmas and of Christianity. The Lord is salvation. The Lord will save His people. And you know, we need salvation. Let's not miss this truth. See, we take this for granted, but let's be reminded we need salvation. We need to be saved. We're under the penalty and the power of sin. We cannot save ourselves, and therefore God did something about it. He sent a Savior. And this Jesus, this child that Gabriel speaks about in this passage, is that Savior. The eternal Son of God took upon Himself a human body and became a man in order to die for our salvation. Brothers and sisters, on this Christmas Eve morning, this then becomes the central question. Is He your Savior? Have you received Him by faith as God and Savior? Mary's child is our Savior. Look at our passage. There's a second description that the angel gives to Mary. Look at verse 32. He says, he will be great. So this baby will be more than a savior. And as astounding as that truth is, there is more. The angel says in this simple way, he will be great. And you look at that statement, there's an absoluteness to that statement. He will be great. Go back to verse 15, because the angel actually uses the same words in another instant. When Gabriel described John the Baptist, he used the same word, but there was a qualifier. In verse 15, he said that John would be great in the sight of the Lord. And you know, folks, that's surely an awesome greatness, to be great in the sight of the Lord. But then when the angel says this to Mary, that he will be great, there's no qualification. It's an absolute statement. It's a statement without limit. It is the greatest of greatness. That's what that means when the angel says it. If you can think this morning of the greatest thing, and you know, they may be different to people here this morning. Something that you would consider to be the greatest thing. Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a person. Maybe an event. Maybe something that's happened to you. Something that you've done. It will not compare in the least to the greatness of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. He said, he, speaking about Jesus, and he said, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. You know, we think about this truth. He will be great. And we're reminded in many places in the Scripture of his greatness. He will be great. Do you see why that as humans in our lives, that we set the target too low for greatness? I mean, we can look at events that take place in human history or in our lives and we say, that is great. That's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Or we can go to a place, even in this country, and we can stand on the top of a mountain, we can look out at valleys and mountains for miles and miles, and we can be struck in awe at the wonder of that vision. We'll say, that is the greatest thing that I've ever seen. And we could go on and on. We give our attention to the greatness of creation. We give our attention to the greatness of a creature or creatures. We give our attention to the greatness of the world around us. And yet, folks, we miss the majesty and splendor and magnificence of the one who made it all. And we settle for great when we can have the greatest of the great. And even now, at this very special time of celebration of Christ's birth and his coming as a man, how difficult it is at times to focus on his greatness. You see, folks, when we truly believe that something is great, we give ourselves to it. We talk about it. We think about it. We tell others about it. We continue to do it. We want it. We see it. We want to be with it. We understand it's something special. We know it's worthy of our attention and our adoration. And so it should be with Jesus. So it should be with him. If you are a Christian, your life will show that Jesus is great. The words of Gabriel here are simple, yet they're profound. Mary's child would be great. There's a third description that the angel gives. Look at verse 32. The angel says, and will be called the Son of the Highest. So here, folks, is a clear statement of his deity. The angel Gabriel tells Mary with these words that her child is God. Now that deserves another sermon, that deserves another study, but can you imagine her hearing those words? He will be the Son of the Highest. And realizing that this child will be God. You see, the Highest or the Most High speaks of God. And it's a term that's used in both Old and New Testament that speaks of the majesty and the sovereignty of God. It's a statement of power and might and exaltation. Look at verse 35. Because Mary asked the angel, how can this be? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Highest will overshadow you, and therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And so we see the connection here. We know that the words Son of the Most High mean the same as Son of God. But then we step back and we ask ourselves, but what does that mean? That He's the Son of God. Now do not think of the Son of the Most High or the Son of God in human terms, because this word Son doesn't mean offspring or subordinate, because in Jewish use the term Son as a title or as a part of a title means equality or identity in nature or essence. And so when Jesus Himself, or when others called Jesus the Son of God, they were making a clear statement of His deity. Whenever you see that statement, the Son of God, it means that He is God. Now He's different, He's distinct from the Father, but He is God. It's a clear statement of deity. Mary's child is God. The divine word, the exact image of God in bodily form, uniquely and from eternity, God the Son. And folks, what that means then is this, that He is equal with the Father, John 5:18. He has life within Himself, John 5:26. He has the power to raise the dead, John 5:25. He gives life, John 5:21. He sets men free from sin, John 8:36. He receives honor equal with the Father, John 5:23. He is the object of faith, John 6:40. He is the object of prayer, John 14:13. He is the object of worship, John 20:28. And when you bring all that together, you know what it means? He's God. He is God. And what is truly astounding is the fact that the greatest of the great and the Son of the Most High would be joined with humanity in the womb of a virgin for the sole purpose of dying as a perfect sacrifice for sinful man. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. He said, and you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And though this may be beyond our full understanding, may we never forget or fail to consider that this child, Mary's child, Jesus, is God. There's a fourth description that the angel gives. Look at verses 32 and 33. And the Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of His kingdom there will be no end. Now, the words that the angel Gabriel uses in this last statement cause no confusion as to the identity of this child. The child of Mary would be king. And not just any king, not just any ruler, but he is the long-awaited Messiah. He will be given the throne of his father David. You see, this child will be a descendant of King David through his mother and also legally through his stepfather. He will fulfill all the prophecies that the son of David would rule over Israel. Earlier in our worship, I think Fred read this passage from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Here's what the prophet Isaiah said. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with just judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And so he will be the everlasting king of Israel. But brothers and sisters, that's not all. Not only will he be the everlasting king of Israel, but listen now to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10. The prophet says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles, or the nations, shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Mary's son would not only be the everlasting king of Israel, but also the king of all the nations. He will one day rule the world. And notice what kind of rule or reign. The angel says he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He will reign forever. His kingdom will not end. Gabriel declares to Mary that this child is the Messiah, the last Davidic king who will reign and rule forever and ever. Folks, just for a moment, consider that. Because what that means is that he will never be replaced. There'll be no new rulers, no new presidents, prime ministers, new governments. There will never be a successor to this king, to Jesus. And it also means that what he gives and what he provides to his people will also last forever. And the promises, the protection, the provision of this king is eternal. Hold your place, and I want you to turn to Hebrews, and I want you to see how the writer of Hebrews says it. First of all, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, and look at verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, he's speaking about Jesus, therefore he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to make intercession. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. And the writer again speaking about Jesus. He says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. And then look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12. The writer says, but this man, isn't that something? This man, see, the God-man, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Brothers and sisters, Mary's child is the eternal king that cares and provides for his people forever. And so the question then that we need to ask ourselves this morning is this: are we submitting to the King right now? Are we submitting to this King right now? Because the truth is, folks, we will submit to this King. We will submit to Him. There is coming a day when all will submit to Him. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, "Therefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You see, everyone will bow to Him. Everyone. The question is, are you submitting to Him right now? Are you bowing to Him right now? Because we can choose right now to submit in faith and humility and thankfulness as His children and as His people. But if we don't, we will bow as conquered, defeated enemies who will face the just condemnation and judgment of this King. The angel told Mary, "Your child is King." So then how do we respond to Mary's child on this Christmas Eve Sunday? Mary's response, Luke chapter 1 verse 38, Mary's response is recorded to be an encouragement and a help to us. Here's what she says. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." To this one who is Savior and great and God and King. Folks, the only right response is this. "I am your servant. I will submit to your word." Is this how you respond to Jesus? Is this your response to Jesus Christ? Let's bow our heads. Father, first of all, we thank you for the simplicity of the text that's before us and a reminder of the coming of God the Son to this earth and taking on human flesh, and the clear reminder from the words of the angel of who He is. Thank you for Jesus. Father, I pray this morning, if there's anyone here today who's not put their faith in Jesus, God, may today be that day. May today be a day of grace, and that you give them understanding and you give them light. And Father, that you bring them from death to life today. And that today would be a day when they experience a second birth. God, I pray for salvation for anyone here today who's not put their faith in Jesus. Father, I pray this morning for us, your people. Help us to be people who will continue to live in a faith and trust in you through Jesus. And Father, may our lives declare clearly who Jesus is. May our lives clearly display the greatness of Jesus, the deity of Jesus. May our lives clearly show forth that He is our Savior and that He is King and He rules in our lives. Father, we look forward to just time with one another and time with family to worship and to celebrate our great Savior, Jesus Christ. We commit the time to you. May you be glorified through it all. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.